Hello, my name's Sean Pertwee. I play Alfred Pennyworth in the show Gotham. And welcome to Geek Pride.
Hi everybody, Matt Geary for the Geek Pride cast on this Friday evening. It is freaking hot in here. I've got the fan going, but I am dying. Unfortunately, this room is super well insulated, and it just keeps heat in, like, all the time. So it's a bit of a nightmare. With me on this good eve, we have three nerdeteers. I don't know what we need to think of a way to call a group of nerds. I'm not sure what you call a group of nerds.
A Harlem, a posse.
A posse?
A posse.
Yeah. A posse of nerds.
A posse of nerds.
I'm sort of kind of seeing you walking down a dusty sort of like street with six irons and whatever. Is it six irons or is it nine irons?
Nine irons.
We could always call ourselves a tremble.
A tremble. A tremble of nerds.
Tremble of nerds.
First up, we've got John Grew. Matt can't speak.
John Grew?
John Grew.
Who's that?
We've got John Grew. John Joe Cosgrove.
Hello, everyone.
We've got Laura Benson.
Sup?
And as always, we've got Josh Varney.
Hello, dears.
What's up, ladies and gents?
It's been a hot week.
Man, very hot week. Like, you just don't. I just don't do hot weather. Being an Irishman, you know, this is killing me. I just can't hack it. That being said, I was saying this to them. I would rather bitch and moan about the heat than it be raining all the time. So I'll go.
No. I've had sweat that was sweating.
We've got Rick Ward. Rick Ward on Facebook says a herd of nerds. I suppose that rhymes. That works. A herd of nerds. It is. There we go. We have a herd of nerds.
That was watching Chuck.
Yeah. Herd of nerds. Yes. Oh, John Joe. I believe it's coming home.
It's coming home.
Just fucking stay away from home. I'm giving up Ant-Man and the... No. I'm giving up Ant-Man and the Wasp for this
shit. I'm the only member in this podcast tonight who actually still has a shot of winning the World Cup. One of only two teams that actually had a chance in the first place.
Fuck that shit. I'm missing out on the Ant-Man and the Wasp because of this shit.
That is bollocks. I don't understand why that's been delayed 4 weeks. Everywhere else around the world is watching. It's like, yeah, fuck it, just give us the Marvel film. And I'm trying to stay away from spoilers. Every fucking website now is giving something. It's going, oh, find out what happens in the post credits. No, I do not want to know. I do not want to find out. I want to watch the film. I want to embrace it. I want to find out in my own way. I don't want the internet to spoil it for me, and it's going to.
Don't worry, comicbook.com already spoiled it for me.
I don't. Yeah, I've blocked. Not blocked, but I've hidden the pages for comicbook.com. I've also done it for basically every single geek page I can find, almost. I have silenced until August. I just don't want to see it. I just really... I have this fear.
Wait, how long has it been delayed for?
4 weeks.
4 weeks.
All right, okay. Is it out now, sort of in the States?
Everywhere.
Yeah, last night, all around the world. It's basically UK, and I think the only other place that hasn't got it yet is China, but China don't give a fuck because they just look at the action scenes, so they don't care about story.
It's true.
You look at the films. Warcraft is one of their best, one of their biggest earners ever, and that film is shit.
Whoa.
It isn't.
It's a good romp. I enjoyed it.
Dude, it's coming from the
let's
person
all, I don't
who loves
know,
Rogue One.
Let's breathe. Because I'm saying now, Medivh was fucking excellent.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. It wasn't anything Oscar winning, but it was a good romp. I enjoyed it. There's been worse Marvel/DC films, and I've enjoyed
Hulk.
It. Yeah, so it's just...
DC films.
I'm trying to think. Well, I don't know. You could go back to some of the earlier Marvel films.
Oh, no, I mean, from this millennium. Yeah, I won't dare watch Howard the Duck ever again. That was experience enough.
I kind of enjoyed Howard the Duck, though. I thought it was kind of good.
God, it's horrible because one of my favourite films is Back to the Future, and seeing Marty's mum shacking up with a duck is just... it's the stuff of nightmares.
It's foul.
No wonder she's fucked in head, man. Ducks. Yeah, but her son.
She apparently thinks that Marvel wants to actually make a Howard the Duck film there in the MCU, and I thought, no, that's not going to happen.
Well, there's a couple of films. What is it? Tank Girl. She has sexual relations with a kangaroo. Yeah. So. There's precedent.
This conversation has taken an interesting turn.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you know what, if they remake one film, Toxic Avenger.
Oh, man. Yes. Toxic Avenger. I have to say, it was pretty graphic. The one I saw, you know, there was some pretty graphic stuff in there.
What, like the class of Nukem High?
Yeah, there was sort of really graphic things in that film, from what I remember.
I love Tromaville.
Yes. But anyway, I'm on that other point you were saying, John Joe, I'm half English, thank you very much, so I can support them if I wish.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's a fact that I did not know. You know, this is nice when we can talk, we can learn things.
My mother's from Oxford, don't you know? She's very posh.
Ah.
Yes, indeed.
Ah, very fancy.
My grandfather fought in World War II and as an RAF pilot, pip pip. Thank you very much.
So you're like fucking rubbing it in there, ain't you?
Yeah, there you go. Way. Right. So, what has everybody been up to this week? What's been going on?
Not so much a geeky thing, but I've got to say it. Monday, I went to go and see Flight of the Conchords, and it was the recording for their upcoming HBO special.
I love them. They're amazing. I'm glad they're back as well, because they've been kind of off the radar for a while.
Yeah. That I mean, the only criticism I had about this show was that they played a lot of new songs and kind of, you know, you want to hear the classics. But at the same time, when it's new stuff, you kind of enjoy it more because you've not heard it before. You get to experience it fresh and you do have a good laugh hearing some of these lines. And just, I can't wait for it to come on TV. I've got to watch it again.
Did they do It's Business Time?
So good. They didn't do Business Time, unfortunately.
What?
No, do you know what? There was a lot of songs that they really, I thought they would have done, but they didn't do. But they did stuff like Inner City Pressure. They done Carol Brown. They done Mother Uckers. Mother Uckers is such a great tune.
Ucking up my... mother Uckers, ucking up my...
the first song on their set list is a song called Father and Son, and it's not... it's not the the Cat Stevens one, just in case anyone's thinking that. But if you get the chance, look it up on YouTube. It is so funny. It's probably the funniest of the new songs that they've done.
Okay. Give it a whirl. What about you, Laura? Quiet Laura. What have you been up to?
Yes. I've been rewatching Clone Wars, and I just finished binging 12 Monkeys.
Ooh, okay. Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, like, who knew that there were four seasons?
Oh, yeah.
When I heard they were making a TV series a few years back, I thought that's going to be one of those sci-fi shows that makes it a season and then just gets cancelled and no one ever hears from it again. So when I heard the other day it was, like, going into season four, I was like, okay, well, maybe there's something worth giving this a go. And it's actually been pretty decent, not going to lie.
I saw something on the TV. They've got a Krypton sci-fi. I've got a Krypton season coming out.
Oh, it's so bad.
Is it?
I've seen it.
It's kind of bad.
It's a shame because I think what really lets it down is the main actor who plays Superman's grandfather, I think.
Segel.
He's just so wooden.
It's a wet chamois plea.
Yeah, he's got no personality whatsoever, which is a shame because, like, everyone else around him's got some personality, but he's just a wooden block. He's got nothing going for him.
Oh, well, I'll strike that off the list then, shall I?
Brainiac's pretty cool in it, though. It's almost worth... yeah, so you see Brainiac appear, so it's almost worth seeing it for that. Yeah. And you'll see... That might be a spoiler, so I'm actually not going to say that. But it's got a couple of redeeming things, and one of the main actors, I swear to God, is he looks just like the guy from Stargate played Teal'c. Whose name's currently escaping me, Christopher Judge. It's eerie. I had to Google him to be like, is that his son? Because the visual similarities are creepy, but no relation. But, you know, it's good to watch in the background, but I wouldn't exactly write home about it.
Talking about spoilers, I ruined somebody's life the other day by mistake. Evening to Dean Hedger on Facebook. Evening, sir. I was at a leaving do, and I was talking away to a guy from work called Rick, and another guy called Pete. And we're talking about Game of Thrones and things, and so I was getting very animated about it in the book. So obviously, I've read them all, enjoy Game of Thrones. So I was sitting there going on about it, and he had said to me sort of that him and his missus had binge watched it and were up to season 6, and I registered this and carried on talking. And then they were like, I think he talked about Littlefinger and things like that. So I went, yeah, I had this theory about Littlefinger and blah, blah, blah. And FYI, by the way, if you haven't watched up to season 7 now, stop listening right now. Stop listening right now. Spoiler, 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 spoilers. So we're up to 7, and I was sitting there kind of going, oh, I've got this theory about this, and blah, blah, blah. But it's a shame he dies. And then He just looked at me and went, what? And I went, oh, shit. I was like, oh, dude. And you told me it only seemed up to 6. I don't know why I did it. I was so apologetic. I was just like, oh, man, that was grim. And he's like, it's all right, man. I was like, no, it's not. I'm just ruined. I said, it's not one of the main things that happens in the series, but... yeah, that is a big thing. Then I explained my sort of theory about how, you know, he should have been on the Iron Throne, and maybe in the books he will be on the Iron Throne, etc. But, yeah.
I still remember that night when I watched the episode. The first thing I thought was, should I message Matt now, or should I wait a few hours to just let it sink in? I think eventually I did message, and I went, Matt, about that theory, he just went, fuck off. Like, yeah. Oh, lovely.
It was very gutted. I think for a character, he deserved more than he got. I have waxed lyrical about this quite a lot, but I thought he had something to do with the entire thing. He basically was the puppet master for the entire series, and in the books as well, he has a lot to do with it. And for him just to get offed like that, it just didn't seem like he deserved it. And I think he at least deserved getting to the point where he might have been actually on the Iron Throne, even if he got overthrown. But he was there because, you know, that's the sort of way the books kind of go. It's along the lines of sort of the Roman Civil Wars and the Wars of the Roses and things like that. And it's not about who's the best fighter and got the biggest army. It's about who's the smartest. And he's a super smart guy, and I just thought he deserved it. So who's hoping in the books that it happens that way? Well, we'll see.
No.
We'll see.
But I think the thing is that your theory was interesting. It was definitely a very thought provoking one. And all right, it's turned out not to be true. But how many times have we ever seen he once come up with a theory and everyone's just gone, nah, that's bollocks? And then like you watch a show, you watch a film, you go, oh, okay, that did happen.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I've had a few things that have come true and stuff. It's just sort of that one I was so sure about. The other one I kind of got wrong was the Umbers during the Battle of the Bastards. I was sure they were going to double cross the Boltons. It's just in the books again. I was confusing because in the books, half of them side with the Boltons and half of them side with the Starks, and the Great John's captured. And things, so I just didn't see, you know, why the Little John would sort of side with the Boltons and things, but, you know, that was just another one. But, yeah, I just think I don't know, I think they kind of took the easy way out with the series. I think they might have overcomplicated things slightly, but, like, I was talking to sort of, like, I was talking to, like, Finn Jones and Daniel Portman from Game of Thrones when I was interviewing them ages ago, and I was like, picture this, and I was just like, you know, so Danny or somebody's, you know, they're being crowned, and then Littlefinger, out of nowhere, assassinates them. And the last scene of the entire series is a panning shot of him sitting on the Iron Throne, and then he just looks up, and it goes to his face, and he smirks, and then it's and that was it, the end.
That sounds like a little bit like the end of Blake 7, like, where it's just like the camera's just on Avon's face. It's like, yep, I can do this. I'm cool. When they all say it just goes to black, and that was it. You never saw any feels. You never saw what happened afterwards.
Yeah, well.
I quite like Blake 7.
But yeah, who knows? We'll see what happens in the books and stuff. If he ever gets the book finished.
No, he won't. The book is going to be one of them. It's going to be like Stieg Larsson's books, because apparently he was... I don't know if the rumour's true, but apparently he was going to make up to 6 or 7 books of the Millennium series, of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series. And apparently they were all going to be private. They weren't going to ever be published. It was going to be more for his own personal work, but he was apparently going to make up to 6 books, and that was never going to happen. The guy was what, into, he must be like way into his 50s, I think, when he first started writing. And then books are quite hefty. They are definitely a mission to get through.
I think if you're writing books like that, if you've decided, if you've turned around to yourself and you've gone, hey, I'm going to write a saga of books, I'm going to write an epic sort of book, you know, hundreds of books or whatever, big, massive books, like in the Games Workshop, the Horus Heresy series, is it's on like book 49 or something, and you know, they've got lots of writers doing it, and you get a book quite regularly with them. And I think you're going to do that. You've got a responsibility to your fans to get it fucking done and not write other books.
Don't even talk to me about it, because like the guy who wrote Name of the Wind, that book, book 1 and book 2 is amazing, incredible, and he has been rewriting book 3 over and over and over again, because I think book 1 and book 2 was so good, and everyone was like, this is mind-blowing, that he can't personally get it right, like he's overthinking it.
Yeah.
Which I really feel pity for. But Brandon Sanderson, who's actually my favorite author, he's currently writing a series at the moment, which I believe he said is going to be like 10 books long. And each book is like a good couple of inches thick. And if there's any author I trust to get it right, it's him, because the man is a machine at writing. He puts out multiple books a year. He's the author who finished the Wheel of Time series. On top of doing all of his other books as well. The man just writes like a machine. And he actually does individual, unique fantasy sci-fi things, which is so hard to do these days. I think they're currently developing one of his book series into a video game, the Mistborn series.
Okay.
Yeah, so I do recommend trying him, reading his books. He's fantastic. He won't let you down, unlike other authors. He won't break your heart. He'll be there for you. He's a good, solid author. He's a good egg.
That sounds like a good advertisement, yeah. He's not George R.R. Martin. No. He will finish.
He will finish the book, and he'll honestly, at this point,
he'll probably finish
the Game of Thrones series for them as well. And they'll be like, honestly, I can't be bothered, Brandon. He's like, I'll do it.
Yeah, he will. Yeah. He's been making a ton of money now, and it's just like, nah. Yeah. Like I said before, I think with him, it's more to do with when you're forced to do something. I think he likes writing in his own time. And I think he's one of these guys, if you're forced to do something, even if it's something you enjoy, you just don't do it. So, like, I love painting models and making models and stuff like that, but if I tell myself I have to do that, then I just don't do it. And I just don't like doing it, I don't enjoy it. Or if I'm forced to do something, I enjoy doing Geek Pride things, but as soon as I'm like, oh shit, I've got to edit that video for Josh, or I've got to do that podcast, or I've got to do these photographs, or I've got to do this, that, and the other, I'm just like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, just, like,
you've got to want to.
I have to admit, when I did that Fuck Cancer event recently, I had a good time acting like a paparazzi there, and like taking notes at 4 in the morning during a sleep drug addled haze. God knows what I wrote. But when it came time to actually writing it, I was like, I don't wanna.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem, I think, with most people. The problem Geek Pride generally gets, for when you've got a voluntary organization, you get a lot of that. Yeah, I'll do the cool thing, but afterwards, I don't really want to do this because it's just like, it's like work and I don't get paid for this. I don't want to get paid for this. It's like, oh no.
Well, we're talking about George R. R. Martin's writing. You got to think, the first Game of Thrones book came out in 1996, but you got to think, how long had he been planning on writing that book? How long had he been crafting the characters? How long had he been thinking about where the story was going to go? Because for all we know, he could have been thinking about this back in the 70s or maybe even the 60s. So this is something that's taken up a massive portion of his life. And
you alternatively, know, he could have just shut it out one afternoon.
So there's this guy called Ned. All right, I'm going to make him the top guy in this book, but I'm going to kill him. All right, then we go on to book two. We've got this little shit called Joffrey, but I'm going to kill him in book four. Okay, but I love it. He's just rapidly writing all these shit. He's like,
read like a history on the War of the Roses, and he's like, I can make some money if I just change some names.
Yeah, and it's complicated, man. The War of the Roses. There's actually, my dad used to do sort of genealogy and stuff, and I'm not sure. It's probably on my mum's side of the family, because my mum's side of the family, on my granny's side. So my mum's father's Maltese. Sorry, get this out of the way. My mum's father's Maltese, and he's like descended from like Maltese pirates and things like that, called Vingo and things like that, which is quite amusing. But my mum's mum, they're all the Crosslands, so they're all like Norman knights and stuff that came across during the 1066 and stuff. And I think it was her side of the family, but in the War of the Roses, what's happened is one of my distant relatives on that side of the family, and I couldn't even tell you what side of the coin it was on, if it was Lancaster, if it was York. I'd need to find out. But what's happened is his family's keep has basically been attacked, and they've come in, the opposing army have come in, and they've basically killed a load of people, killed his family, and then sat there and eaten dinner at his table, at the, you know, my ancestor's table, and for some reason let him live. And then he has spent the rest of the war sort of basically plotting his revenge, and he gets it. And him and a bunch of guys ambush the guys who basically took his keep and kill all of them in this big ambush and stuff. Well, was that the epic music for the ambush? But yeah, so there you go. The link to the War of the Roses on my family side. But yeah. Complicated. I've got a few books on it. And it's just madness. So that's where he does get it all from, that. You know, he gets it a lot from European history. Sort of like War of the Roses, Roman Civil Wars. And like I said, it's all about sort of what's the word? Not the diplomacy. It's all to do with I suppose it is the diplomacy, the sort of the politics behind it all and stuff. The wars kind of are secondary to the Machiavellian machinations underneath it all. So, yeah.
So basically, you just spoiled the end for us, and fuck, man.
Yeah, spoilers, honestly, and history.
George R. R. Martin just sat there, and he just gets like a book, and he goes, all right. Control F, replace. And he just replaces character names, and every once in a while he kills someone early, but like more brutally, and he's like, done! Hate me.
Yeah.
I'd respect that.
Get the book written, George. Get the book written, man. Alright. Okay, so moving on. What else has been going on, gents?
We have a release date for probably one of Netflix's the next series of one of Netflix's best shows. Last year, they brought out the first season of Castlevania, which I quite enjoyed. Season two will be coming out just before Halloween.
Okay.
And if you've not seen it, it's quite fun. It's quite a good adaptation of a video game property. The animation is a little bit stiff, but it's four episodes the first season, so even if you just want to give it a quick watch, you can see the whole thing in about an hour and a half, and it's actually quite fun. It's quite intriguing. There's some good voice talent on there as well, if you're into your guest stars, if you're into who goes into these projects. And I just annoyed that I've got to wait another 3 months, but definitely worth a watch if you get a chance.
Just on a random note, Laura.
Yo.
Because you talked about the fuck cancer thing. Have we sold any raffle tickets?
You know, I don't think we have, and I'm so disappointed in that. I can't believe that people are turning down, like, it's like a 1 in 150 chance to win.
Wait a minute. I've bought two just to see.
To be fair, I haven't checked in a couple of days. Let's go have a look now. Let's have an update. But it's been quite,
because I did a big share, and there's quite a lot of people sharing it and stuff. Was there issue? Because when I tried to buy it, there was an issue with the it came through eventually.
So here we go. Six tickets sold.
Oh joy, six! Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm quite shocked by it because it's like that thing is worth like a good £400.
Well, we'll have to push it a bit more. If you're listening to this, we will put up a link. What's the site called?
It's called Raffle. www.raffle.com.
Yeah.
It is a signed Arrow cast poster, A3, featuring signatures from Stephen Amell, David Ramsey, Juliana Harkavy, Josh Segura, Emily Brett Richards, Kirk Espido. And it'll come insured to you. It will, you know, all the proceeds will go to Cancer
Research
UK. Research UK. So it's for a good cause, and you get a pretty cool prize out of it. So please, even if you do not want to buy a ticket, please share it and get it out there.
Yeah, well, we had a fair few people liking it and sharing it, so it's a shame that there's only a few. Well, we'll have to rectify that, won't we? So, yeah, okay.
Everyone get on that. Oh, come on, that is an amazing prize. And Arrow, all right, I know what a lot of people may think. It is a little bit cheesy compared to some shows, but Arrow is probably the most prominent superhero show at the moment. It's coming onto its seventh season, and I think it, apart from Smallville, is the longest-running superhero show.
Right, okay. Right. Is there a time limit on it, by the way, or is it literally whenever the tickets run out?
Basically whenever the tickets run out.
Okay. Better get on that, eh? Okay. Cool. All right. Josh, what have you been up to?
I have been writing while binge-watching How to Train Your Dragon, Race to the Edge most of the week.
Oh, God, I love those movies. I'm so excited for the new one.
I've been writing about John Powell, the composer, because he does a lot of great music, and How to Train Your Dragon being one of the main soundtracks I love him for. But he's done Solo, he's done Rio, he's done Kung Fu Panda, Born Identity, and Pan, you know, all great films. And he's just not talked about as well as people like, you know, John Williams and Hans Zimmerman.
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd do a little article and get his name up, because I could listen to the Dragon soundtrack constantly. It's such beautiful composition music from him. Absolutely amazing. So I've been binge-watching that and listening to, what is it, instrumental music all week.
I like a good instrumental song. I generally like long, drawn out songs. If I don't get like 10 minutes, then I'm not interested.
Mm.
There's a song, one of my favourite songs. It's a band called The Darkest Hour, so they're quite a heavy metal band, but they do some amazing, absolutely beautiful melodic sort of interlude-y stuff. And they have an instrumental called Veritas Aquitas, and it is just beautiful. I just do not get tired of that song. And there's a bit at the end, sort of like coming on to, like, it's 12 minutes long, and I think it's like on its 10th minute or something like that, and it sort of builds up. It starts, this piano-y part starts building up, and then it builds up, and then it just kicks in with this Mountaintop Glory lead, and it's fucking like, oh my god, I'm just coming in my pants. That's amazing. It's like you can sit, you see yourself on top of a mountain, hair flowing, just sort of kind of whittling out, and it's just like, oh, that is absolutely beautiful, amazing. And I said, if I ever die, that's a song that I want when my, you know, if my coffin's carried out or whatever, I want that song and I want that part just sort of as it's coming out, because it's just like doo 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 and then just kicking in. I don't even care if people drop my coffin to play some air guitar. Just do it. I'll be dead. You know, who cares?
I wanted an instrumental of Rammstein's Mein Herz Brennt.
Oh, what's
wrong with that?
No, I like that. That's what. Sorry, that was supposed to be like an enthusiastic. Ooh.
Oh, yeah,
I like that.
I want that instrument. I want that instrumental because I just thought it's the whole the violins and the whole orchestra section. You know, doors open, coffins coming through. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I've all my family members going, "What the fuck is that?" Oh, it's just dad. That's fine.
I think I just want something like really badly played on a kazoo. Just as everyone's, you know, just sat there like, what in the ever-loving fuck is happening? You know, just like my heart will go on the kazoo. Yeah, just, you can pick whatever song as long as it's on a kazoo and badly played. Go for it. Go on.
I just thought the best song that could possibly play for you by a kazoo is the whistling tune from the Disney's Robin Hood.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
That's the one.
Awesome.
But just real shit.
It sticks in your head.
I want Morrissey.
Oh, fuck off, Morrissey.
Morrissey, the first of the gang to die.
Die. What a great song.
I fucking hate Morrissey. He is such a dick.
Do you know what? He's a dick, but do you know what? His music is good.
I just don't like, you know, I have this thing. If you're a dickhead, I just don't like your music. It's just, it doesn't matter. It's like, I used to be a massive Pantera fan, and I know that bloody Phil Anselmo was a racist, and just keep, zero interest in it now.
Keeping with the morbid side of things, I know everybody's got their music picked out for like the funeral, especially when the coffin's going down into being, you know, the grill section of the barbecue. Everyone has got their lowering song.
Would you be cremated or would you be buried?
Oh, I want a true king's fashion. Just put me on a slab on the beach and set fire to me. You know, fit for a king.
Yeah, I would weld that. That would be good. It's illegal.
I've always said,
I'm always unsure what I want to do, because like, there's on that one hand, there's the being shot into space thing, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, like literally shot into space as a corpse, just thrown into space.
I think they cremate you first.
Okay.
Which is hilarious because sometimes they fuck it up and people come back down again, and that's the part I'm kind of down for.
Jay Roddenberry fall back to it.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was quite good. Yeah,
cremate me a second time, motherfucker. On the other hand, you can apparently now be like compressed into a diamond, your carbon from your ashes, and I like the idea that I could potentially haunt this diamond, like
give it special powers.
Yeah, like oh, this is Grandma Laura. She's a fucking diamond now. And of course, people aren't going to throw away a diamond. So that motherfucker is going to last forever, and I'm going to haunt and bring misfortune to whatever arsehole has it. It's a plan.
My uncle had his ashes. He didn't have them, but we had his ashes. My cousin, they had his ashes shot out of a 24-pounder cannon, basically. So because he was in Royal Artillery, so. Fired out of a cannon and port.
No disrespect, but what a pussy way to go. They should have shot the corpse out of the cannon.
I don't think they could have fitted him in, really, to be honest.
You know,
jammed him in.
Detonation, yeah. Bit of lube, a lot of explosives. I think it could be done.
My mum has just messaged saying, "We've already got your funeral song picked out," and it's quite ironic because it was going to be Johnny Cash's "Ain't No Grave Can Hold Your Body Down." The problem is we could never raise your body up to get you into the ground. Cheers, Mum. Thanks a lot.
I like the idea that your mum's trolling you. Apparently,
your mum's trolling you.
She knows what my kids are like. And trust me, I've walked the fire of Lego and I've fallen down the stairs. These kids will kill me real soon.
Maybe they just want to see if you can be shot into space, you know.
Oh, trust me, I'll be orbiting this fucking planet going.
think about like your remains at one point in the future could be the space junk that destroys someone's starship. And honestly, what a way to go. What a legacy.
Yeah, great.
What was that? Me what was that? We've just been hit by the Josh.
Yeah, all you can see is just me screeching across the bridge of the
Or some interplanetary garbage truck could just pick you up and throw you in a dump, and you could end up in eternity in some dump on Ursa Major 4.
But at least you'd be travelling in space, so there's a positive.
Very true.
Great, I'll be Lobo's hood ornament.
Again, I see no problem with this.
Oh,
I'm just
man.
Saying, if you have your kind of, like, let's say, space coffin made into something that looks cool, then someone will probably pick it up, or it'll hit something. One thing will happen or another. It'll be fun. Haunt an alien. How's that for a legacy?
Haunt an alien. That sounds awesome.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised. I'm expecting it'll be like a Black Mirror episode or something in the future where someone gets fucked up by like hitting space debris, the Earth. Because like we're cluttered with rubbish in our orbit already, and I just can't wait for it to be like people's ashes and stuff just fucking up and destroying more people.
That's fair. We haven't had an alien Black Mirror episode yet, so yet. It'll be worth going. Yeah, yet. We don't know anything about Season 5. They're keeping it very quiet.
I'm sure Orvis is writing something as we speak.
Oh, yes. I was rewatching the USS Callister the other day. God, that was a great episode.
Yeah, it was really fun. Good. Really good. We're talking about death, might as well throw this one in because it has a sort of kind of geeky side to it. There was a post I saw now. You know, there's a fair few of us who are obviously not of the religious types, and I personally am an atheist and stuff. And each to their own, of course, if you know, believe what you wish to do. But there was a great piece, and it was, I think it was originally on IFL Science, so I fucking love science. And it's called Why You Should Have a Physicist, no, sorry, Ask a Physicist to Speak at Your Funeral. And it's got this really beautiful sort of kind of thing, you know, because isn't that the
theory that because we all come from nothing, matter is matter regardless, so yeah. Even after we die we still continue existing in some form, and the way that the world kind of happens, one day we will exist again.
Something along those lines. I'll read this for you, and you can have it. It's quite deep, so there's a bit of a deep part for you. So it says, you want a physicist to speak at your funeral. You want the physicist to talk to your grieving family about the conservation of energy, so they will understand that your energy has not died. You want the physicist to remind your sobbing mother about the first law of thermodynamics, that no energy is created in the universe and none is destroyed. You want your mother to know that all your energy, every vibration, every BTU of heat, every wave of every particle that is beloved, that of her beloved child remains with her in this world. You want the physicist to tell your weeping father that amid the energies of the cosmos, you gave as good as you got. At one point, you hope that the physicist would step down from the pulpit and walk your broken-hearted spouse there in the pew and tell him that all the photons that are bouncing off your face at the particles of whose paths were interrupted by your smile, by the touch of your hair, hundreds of trillions of particles have raced off like your children, their ways forever changed by you. And as your widow rocks in the arms of a loving family, may the physicist let her know that all the photons that bounce from you were gathered in the particle detectors that are her eyes, that those photons created with her within her constellations of, there's a lot of big words here, electromagnetically charged neutrons, whose energy will go on forever. And it carries on, but it's beautiful. Such a good piece. And yeah, I would definitely have a physicist talk at my funeral, I think.
You know, they actually covered a speech like that on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think it was a talk between Fitzsimmons, where they went over something very similar. Which is actually one of the reasons I'm a big fan of the show, because even though it's got its ups and downs, they often cover the kind of things that, even though it's a sci-fi show, even though there's aliens and stuff, they then cover stuff like that, which actually holds a real message can really, like, you know, bring a feeling of hope. You know, they might be like facing aliens, but death is death, and it's something that we all have to deal with in one way or another.
Yeah, have you enjoyed the new series, by the way?
So much.
I haven't got to the end of it. I'm sort of, I can't even remember what episode I'm in.
The end of it felt a little rushed. Like they kind of went, ah, shit, we forgot something.
Yeah.
But on the same note, I did enjoy it. And it's the only thing that has been a shame for the last, let's say, two seasons, is I was really hoping when we went to the, when we had the whole Ada thing, and she managed to, let's be honest, she 3D printed herself a new body. I was really hoping that Brett Dalton's character, Ward, his new personality would get a printed body too, and he'd rejoin the team as, you know, Ward 0.4 or whatever.
Yeah.
Because Brett Dalton as Ward is not only just a fantastic, interesting, layered character that we've gotten to see in so many different ways, but the actor himself is one of the genuinely funniest, nicest people I know, and I want to see him do so well. And the other day I saw him playing stock standard murderer husband on Elementary, and I was
yes, do you watch it? Do you watch Elementary?
I love Elementary.
I love Elementary as well.
Moriarty is coming back.
Yeah. Really, is she?
Oh man, have you not seen the new episode? Shit, whoops.
No, I know the guy. I know the,
I'm really gonna watch this show.
The murderer guy, his friend. Yeah, yeah. He sort of like said, you know, take some time. And
you're two episodes behind then.
Right, okay. So yeah, I've been the one where he's off on the bus, and I think it's really good, and I think
we've not seen her yet, but they've just said that Moriarty's escaped, and she's on the hunt. She wants her empire back.
Interesting.
Is this on Netflix, by the way?
No, it's Living, isn't it? UK Living.
I'm not gonna lie, I watch it through legal ways.
You online. Watch it. You watch it through illegal ways online.
No, definitely legal.
Legal.
Definitely legal ways online. But it honestly, it's so good. Moriarty is played by Natalie Dormer of Game of Thrones. Ugh. And she is spectacular.
I thought it was really good, his sort of interaction with her. And you know, he... just his emotions when he find out, and
the betrayal, and
yeah,
I think that Elementary is actually probably the best Sherlock Holmes adaptation that's ever been done, because in most Sherlock's they kind of have him as this guy that's so brilliant that everyone will let him get away with being a prick. There's never any consequences because they're like, ah, he's so brilliant. But in Elementary, there are consequences to when he acts like a prick. And so there are times where he has to actually say, you know, I might be the most intelligent guy in the room, but yes, I am a prick, and I need to acknowledge that, and I need to apologize and not do that anymore. And it's nice to see a guy who's like, you know, I might be brilliant, but it doesn't mean that I'm consequence-free. And it doesn't make me a perfect human.
Yeah. How many seasons are there so far?
There's a fair few, isn't there?
Six, I think.
Six, yeah.
Shit, I got a lot of binge watching to do then.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's really good. Like, my mom's the only person I know else who watches it. I can know, do people watch Elementary? Nobody seems to watch it. I really enjoy it. I think it's really
good.
We'll
talk about that later, Matt, because I have big Elementary feels. But some people I know didn't want to watch it at first because of Joan Watson, and they were like, oh, it's just a female Joan Watson, meh. But
I like Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu is fantastic in this role.
She is really good in it, I think. Unlike
Martin Freeman, whose John Watson is basically there just to go, ooh, you're so brilliant. Ooh, oh my God, look at you. Joan is, she has her own contributions. And sometimes that contribution is just to say to Sherlock, you're acting like a child and you can fuck off until you stop acting like a child. And other times, it's how she uniquely views the world from the point of view of someone who's smart, but not brilliant.
Yeah, I like the fact that they haven't done the trope of them falling in love and stuff like that. Yeah,
it's so great, too, because they don't even have that kind of chemistry. They've got the chemistry of they're very much perfect partners.
Yeah.
They've got a very deep connection, but at no point are you like, oh, this show will be ruined if they don't fuck.
And it's, what's his name, who played Billy, what's his name? Who plays Sherlock, what's his name, Billy?
Johnny Lee Miller.
Johnny Lee Miller, sorry.
Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Really good.
He nails it, and it's so fantastic, because he's not the most gorgeous looking guy, but he's still, like, he has, like, sex all the time, and he has sex all the time because his opinion of the matter is, it's another way for him to research things.
Yeah.
You know, he's very happy with his body. He's very happy to do whatever with whoever. Whereas Benedict Cumberbatch is very much like, oh no, no, sex is for the feeble minded. I couldn't possibly.
Yeah. And if Johnny like, Lee, oh. If Johnny Lee Miller does actually listen to this, we apologize.
Yeah. Sorry, bro, but like you've got like male pattern baldness, and you know it.
I was panicking slightly because it sort of disappeared off the air for a while, and I was just like, oh no,
yeah.
have they cancelled it? And then it might have been because he had gone off to do fucking Train Spotting 2 or something. But yeah, I was just like, oh man, you need to bring this back because I really enjoy this.
And the current arc, there's a serial killer in the current arc, and it's really interesting because normally you kind of have this thing of a serial killer being, ooh, who is it? In this case, it's, oh, we know exactly who it is, but we can't fucking get him on anything.
Yeah, that's a really good angle for it. It's like he knows, and he sits there, and he's just like, in a fucked up way, he's trying to help Sherlock because...
Yeah,
you know,
he thinks that it will help Sherlock because they have Sherlock being a recovering addict in the show and a heroin addict, and it's a very, very big part of his character, and it's something that he never gets better. So they show addiction in the show as something that's constant struggle for anyone and everyone.
I need to watch this now.
It's just so good.
It is so good. Really good. This is just because they have a main story arc throughout the season, and then they have episodes. little episodes within. So each one will have a sort of it will defer to the main storyline slightly and stuff. I think last season was about his dad and stuff, wasn't it? Was his dad in that season? Or was that the season before?
Yeah, that was the season before. Last season was about the guy who was undercover.
Oh yes, the sort of homeless guy.
Yeah, Shinwell.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Shinwell. Yeah.
But I totally recommend it to everyone. It's a fantastic show. It's a very intelligent show. It doesn't treat you like an idiot.
And it has a lot of the characters from the books. And it had.
Who's that guy who plays his father? What's his name again?
He's in Denethor. He's Denethor in Lord of the Rings, isn't he?
Yes. Yes. The guy from Fringe.
Yeah. He's good. Really good. Yeah.
Are you talking about John Noble?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
John Noble is awesome.
Yeah, he plays Sherlock's dad. Yeah.
But even better, he plays himself in an episode of Legends of Tomorrow, and
he does.
Brilliant.
He does, yes.
He's brilliant in that episode.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, very good.
Anyway, should we do the geek quiz?
Let's do the geek quiz.
Oh, okay.
Sweet guy.
All right, okay. All right,
then.
I've got my pen and paper.
Yes, the paper. This quiz has 33 possible points.
Oh fuck!
Are we about to say 33 questions?
Oh my god! My god! Oh. All right. Okay.
I feel I did miserably last week, so I kind of want to exact some revenge.
All right.
So
okay.
It's not my fault. Why did I get on? Well, who done the quiz last week?
It was Josh.
Josh, it's your fault.
So you can blame Josh. So if this is ridiculously hard, you can blame Josh. And if it's
I know nothing.
And if it's ridiculously easy, it's because I was being easy on all of you, and I'm a kind person.
Right. Okay.
Oh shit.
Okay. Go on then.
So is everyone ready?
Yes, I was born ready.
Okay. Question number one. In 1997, critically acclaimed game Dungeon Keeper was developed by which production company?
Oh, no.
I fucking know this. Ah. Come on.
And your bonus question is, the game has had 11 games that claim to be influenced by the original in years since. Gain a point for each one you can name.
What?
Oh, come on.
Oh, yes. So there have been 11 games.
I know
games.
The production company. 11 of others I'm not going to bloody know.
Yeah, so there have been a variety of games over the years that have said that Dungeon Keeper has been their main influence, or they've tried to call themselves the spiritual successor to the game.
I can picture the games. I can picture, like, I can see them in my head, but I can't even think of one name. Does the sequel count?
Well, it was Dungeon Keeper and Dungeon Keeper 2, mate. Technically, there was Dungeon Keeper Gold, which was a re-release of Dungeon Keeper 1 with extra stuff, but that was all the same production company, who folded, by the way, just before Dungeon Keeper 2 finished.
I'm so annoyed. I used to play that game all the time.
All right, shall I move on to the question 2?
Yeah, because I'm not going to get any of those.
Yeah, I'm not going to get this either.
Fantastic. In the animated series Clone Wars, Anakin Skywalker is voiced by which actor?
Don't know. I've got a clue.
And for a bonus question, what 2010 comedy movie did this actor also star in?
Ooh, okay. Maybe I can, let's see. 2010 comedy movie.
Yeah, he was the star. He was an actual actor in it, not just a voice actor.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yes, so a bonus question and a clue.
What was the year again, Laura?
2010.
Oh, that's not who I was thinking of. Okay.
I think I know this. If it's the one I think of, I hate myself for knowing this.
Then I think you've got it right.
It's such a shit film. It's such a bad film.
Honestly, though, it was shit in the good way.
Oh, no, it was just shit.
John Joe, thank you so much. I now realise what film I was thinking of.
Fuck!
Yeah, I still anyway. I haven't got the foggiest.
That's all right. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Question 3. In Star Trek 2009 and Star Trek Into Darkness, how many combined lens flares have been counted? Closest answer gets the point.
Are you fucking kidding me?
All right, can you give us like a ballpark that we need to hit with?
Between 1 and 3 or just 1 and 3?
It's in the thousands.
Right, so it's in the thousands, right. So is it going to be to the nearest thousand?
I'm going to say to the nearest 100, and I'll give it to you.
I don't think there's that many lens. Well, there might be, I don't know.
Let's say it's between, the max is 2,000, so a number between 1 and 2,000.
Okay.
Fuck it, lucky number.
Is there a bonus on this one?
There is not. I thought I'd be easy on you.
Really?
Fuck
that's
it.
Easy.
That's easy. Yeah.
All right. Question number 4. Galactus the Destroyer of Worlds was once a mortal. What was his mortal name?
Oh, that's easy.
And for your bonus question, name any of the heralds of Galactus other than the Silver Surfer for 1 point each.
I don't do comics. I don't know this.
Other than the Silver Surfer.
Yes. So there are 13, I believe.
Fuck. Yeah. I'd like to think that
this
know
paper is very
comics.
Blank at this moment in time.
I like to think I knew a lot on comics. Now I'm really doubting myself all around.
I've got 4. Because they're the only 4 I can think of.
And then question 5 is a nice simple one, no bonus question. In Stargate, who were the member races of the Alliance of the 4 Great Races?
You legend!
Never watched it.
No idea. Okay, I can pretty much say I've got 0 right in this question. In this, like 0.
And I was going to give a point for each race you can get.
Yeah.
There are 4 races.
No, seeing as I absolutely love SG-1 and Atlantis, this is fantastic.
Well, I was determined to have a Stargate question, and I kept having that thing of, like, what's common knowledge and what's I'm an obsessed fan knowledge?
God. The only thing I know about Stargate is that MacGyver's in it. That's all I know.
Oh, you tragic human being.
The many jokes that Amanda Tapping has played on Richard Dean Anderson while filming SG-1 is just so funny. There's a great outtake where they're trapped in ice, and she's going, so you got some sticks here and a paperclip, can you make us a nuclear reactor? I'm stuck on this planet with MacGyver, for Christ's sake.
Honestly, one of the greatest shows to ever hit television, and I'm really hoping, because they've recently done that Stargate miniseries online, 15-minute episodes, Origins. I'm hoping that we're going to see Stargate return to our screen soon.
Yeah, because Continuum just destroyed it for me.
Let's just pretend that Continuum did not happen. And same with Arc of Truth, if I'm entirely honest. Right. The Stargate movies. Okay, are we ready for some answers?
Yeah, go on then.
So we can see how badly we did.
Yes. Yeah, please do.
Okay, the game developer for Dungeon Keeper was Bulldog Productions.
Oh my god! God damn it!
I put Bullfrog.
I said Bullfrog.
Sorry, it's Bullfrog. What am I saying? Oh.
Yay, there we go.
All right, okay. We're okay then.
My bad. Sorry. Did anyone get any of the sequels?
No. I don't know. It's like Diablo or any of those.
I'll give you the list, see if anyone got any of these. 1999's Lego Rock Raiders. 2001's Startopia. 2004's Evil Genius, 2006's Ghostmaster, 2007's Holy Invasion of Privacy Batman, 2011's Dungeons, 2011's Dungeon Overlord, 2013.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a Facebook game, that one.
Yeah.
2013's Impire.
Yeah.
2013's The Mighty Quest for Epic Loot, 2015 The War of the Overworld, and 2015's Dungeons 2.
I put Diablo.
I just wrote Dungeons 2.
Hey, we got a point.
That was just a guess. I had no bloody idea.
Well, I got...
Hey, okay.
Got a point. All right, question two. The actor who played Anakin Skywalker on Clone Wars was the actor Matt Lanter.
No idea.
I got that.
And the movie in which he starred in 2010 was Vampires Suck.
So did the rest of the bloody film.
Yeah, it's fucking awful. Absolutely awful.
He played Edward.
I just blocked it out.
I've blocked all the scary movie films as well, just completely gone.
Well, no, the first couple of scary movie films were fine. It's just beyond that, and all the spin-offs and all that. I mean, Epic Movie was the first ever film I walked out of a cinema of. I literally got to 20 minutes of that film. I was like, I've had enough of this. I'd rather kill myself. I'm just going to get out of here.
Transformers, The Last Knight, and Hannibal. Alexander are the only two sort of films I've just went, I'm done. I'm leaving.
For me, it was Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Oh.
I sat through that one because I wasn't too bad with it. And then I watched it a second time. I was like, actually, this is really shit.
Yeah.
All right, so... How many lens flares did everyone believe was in the two Star Trek movies?
1,657.
I went 1,500.
I went with 1,550.
Ooh, we were all very close. The answer is 1,547.
Fucking
hell. Oh my god, that is brilliant.
Isn't that just horrific? All right, so Galactus' mortal name before he became the Destroyer of Worlds was Galen of Tarr.
Oh, so I got Gal Cactus.
Gal Cactus. That sounds like some woman that you really don't want to meet. This is Gal Cactus.
Gal Gadot's, like, much less famous sister.
It's a bit prickly.
It's not like Optimus Prime, you know, Orion Pax. You know, it kind of works, but no. Yeah,
Gal. So who got some heralds?
I did. I've got four.
Who'd you get?
I've got Tyrant.
Yes.
Fallen One.
Yes.
Airwalker and Fire Lord.
Yes and yes.
I think I've got a few others. I really hope these are right. Was Stardust one of them?
Stardust was, yes.
Nova.
Nova, yes. Silver Surfer's Babe. Yes.
Destroyer.
Yes, I was just about to say Destroyer.
Yes.
Yeah, so I had six.
Oh, 6 points.
I had six because I had Morgan Fallen one as well.
Ah, nice. And the very last question in Stargate, the member races of the Alliance of the Four Great Races, Josh?
Ancients, Asgard, Furlings, and the Nox.
Correct.
And the fifth race would be the Tory.
Yes, only... granted that by the Asgard just before they bit the dust.
Yeah, in an ending, still one of the best episodes.
Right, mine were Wu-Tang Clan, NWA, D12, and So Solid Crew.
That'd be an awesome fucking night out, that would.
So I don't know about awesome, but yeah, okay.
So what I got a grand total of one. No, I don't know. I wasn't even close enough for that 1657. So yeah, Bullfrog. I got that. And that's about it.
Yeah, no. So I heard that was sufficiently interesting.
That was too hard. Too hard.
I do believe that Mr. Varney won again.
Yes.
No, I think the fucking SG1 question saved my ass, because I'm sorry. Yeah. First question is just, that was mean as fuck.
Yeah, I know. I used to play that game all the time. I was like, okay, I have to have a gaming question. And the only game I actually ever really played with any kind of like obsessiveness was Dungeon Keeper and Soul Calibur. So I'm going to be real mean.
It was Doom for me.
Yeah.
Doom and World of Warcraft.
Yeah, no, but yeah, one of the reasons you should watch Stargate is because they're very much, they treat you, the fans, with a lot of sense of humor. And in this particular question, we meet the ancients, we meet the Asgard, and when it comes to the Furlings, we never meet them. But in what is it, the 100th episode or something?
Yeah.
They're like spitting these ideas for a fake TV show, and they meet the Furlings in that fake TV show, and they're basically Ewoks, but they look more like koalas. Very tongue-in-cheek. So sorry for the brutal quiz.
Brutal it was.
But yeah, isn't that a shocking amount of lens flares?
I did not think it was that many, but I was just guessing. Just say something extraordinary. I thought 1550. That sounds extraordinary enough.
Yeah, apparently afterwards, after that number was pointed out to him, he was like, ah. Yeah, my bad.
I think he probably just went every now and again, Joe, a lens flare will look good there. Joe, a lens flare will look good there. Is there actually any fucking film, if you've got so many lens flares, can you actually see the movie?
I think what he's done is they've given him like a half price overlay for his like his phone or something. He went, lens flare, half price. And he just went, yeah, let's use that.
What was amazing is after 2009 Star Trek, everyone was like, dude, calm down on the lens flares. So either I'd like to see the breakdown between the two films. I'd like to see if he like leaned into it harder on Into Darkness just to try and cover up the shitty plot.
Well, it could have been like fucking Michael Bay. It's like, we'll have an explosion here, and then 2 seconds later, we'll have another explosion here.
And some scantily clad woman over on the side next to the explosion.
Yes, Khan, who is an Indian, is now a British white man.
And instead of Kirk shouting out Khan, you have Spock shouting out Khan. Oh, you know, very, 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 very 2013, yes.
Yes, so fantastic. What's a shame is they could have very easily made it so they just woke up a different augment, so they wouldn't have to explain why he was now white and British. Give him a different name, and they could have panned over like a digital recreation of the original Khan, just for that kind of, you know, nod to the series, but without having to be just like, you know, jerking off the fanboys.
Could have had a lovely cutscene to Edna Mode going, now darling, what we done with your normal face is we took it from here and now we're like here.
Yeah, like they made a comic book to try and explain. They were like, oh man, people might recognize you as Khan, so we made you British and white. At the same note, they were like, no one remembers the augments. Yeah.
Just in case, you know, Spock, who you went up against so many years ago, in case he somehow goes back in time and he recognises what's going to happen and he thinks you might be reappearing, let's re-change your figure, you know. But then again, if you do that, he might actually know what you look like in that time. So when he goes back, he actually knows what you look like as a British man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fucked.
Or just wake up a different fucking augment, because then we could still have, you know, all the same abilities, probably similar motivations, but without having to have that ridiculous backstory and just the, you know, it was lazy. It was so lazy. I like to pretend that movie doesn't exist and we just went from 2009 to beyond.
We could have had it lazy and just gone Khan Jr.
God!
Jr.
If we want a real bad change of an origin, the live-action Ghost in the Shell, where they basically explain how Scarlett Johansson's character is Asian but not Asian. That was very hard for me to watch, because I thought it was a decent film. And
Visually, they nailed it.
Yeah, and I was really hoping this was going to be the film that breaks the trend. And I think I got to about the hour and 20 mark. I was like, actually, Joel, it's not the greatest, but I'm quite enjoying it. You know, it's starting to make a bit of sense. I am enjoying the action scenes. And then it's like, okay, so the Major is now going to visit her mother. Her mother's Asian. And she isn't Asian herself, but she's been given a Caucasian body. What the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, it's a shame because visually that movie was absolutely beautiful. And I saw they had an auction for some of the movie props the other day. And I thought, man, I would love some of the props from that film because you just can't, you know, you can't fault the visuals at all. But, unfortunately, I love Scarlett Johansson. I think she's a really lovely person when I've met her. But I don't think she's a versatile actress. And she's now been cast by the same director in a different film in which she plays a transgender man. And
let me guess, the twist is he's going to probably end up being black or something, but she's actually white.
Well, obviously she's not transgender herself, and so when people were like, hey, maybe this should go to a transgender actor, her agent released a press release that was basically like, why don't you direct your questions at Jared Leto and all those people who've done it before. It was like such a big, oh, get fucked, and you're just like, oh, that's not gonna
I know it went really downhill, but one bit of casting I always enjoyed was from the fourth season of Heroes, when you had I can't remember the actress's name, it's really bad, but there was a character that was deaf, but they actually did get a deaf actress to play her.
Yeah,
I thought, like, that was quite good.
Well, they did that in A Quiet Place recently.
The child,
she was an actual deaf actress. It's just one of those things, you know, there's plenty of you know, if you want to represent minorities in Hollywood, give the jobs to minorities. But yeah, Scarlett, she's not a great actress, which is a shame. She hasn't got much range, let's be honest.
When she was younger, she did seem to get a lot better film roles.
If you look at anything she plays now, the only emotion she has is that she smirks at the camera.
Yeah, basically she's a Black Widow in every film now.
Yeah, it's a shame, because even Black Widow doesn't get much good writing. But it's amazing the pull of her as Black Widow, because Lucy did surprisingly well at the cinemas just because people wanted to see Scarlett Johansson as a female badass.
Yeah, I just don't understand why they've never done a Black Widow film. It just doesn't make sense.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Apparently they're going to start filming one at the end of the year, but...
But it's taken them like 10 years.
Yeah, this is the thing. Is it too late to now do this film?
No, because I think it's going to run off the coattails of Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I think this should have been the first one, though. You've had an established female character who should have pretty much, well, was supposed to have been leading the way. And don't get me wrong, I'm looking forward to Captain Marvel, and I think Brie Larson is a superb actress. I mean, Room is definitely a great movie, and she is probably one of the best actresses of the last few years that I've seen in any films. But Black Widow should have been the film that springboarded the more female side of the MCU.
Yeah.
Solo movies. And don't get me wrong,
I have to say, though, if we get a Black Widow film, I don't want one set currently. I'd like it set in, you know, Soviet Russia, because Black Widow from the comics is about as old as Captain America. But in the movies, they've made her out like she's not, but they've never really given us a definitive answer. So I'd like to see, you know, kind of more of a prequel.
I think
maybe she has been brainwashed. Maybe she is actually from the same time period, but she was frozen. They've just programmed her brain to make her think that she was in some Russian ballet school.
The Red Room was part of that. Alternatively, if we could have maybe the story of Hawkeye bringing her in to joining S.H.I.E.L.D. in the first place, that would still give us a nice prequel, because I'm not sure she could carry the film by herself, and Jeremy Renner desperately needs the work.
I really want her to join up with Charlie Cox, who plays Daredevil in the TV show. I really want that crossover, and I think Daredevil and Black Widow would actually be quite a good combination.
And he's really good Daredevil as well. Really good.
He is. He's just a really good actor. I couldn't believe when I realised he was the floppy-haired hero in Stardust from years ago.
He plays Tristan. My middle name's Tristan.
Along with Claire Danes.
He He plays a Northern Irish IRA man in Boardwalk Empire as well.
Yeah,
he does. Speaking of the MCU Netflix shows, I am one episode away from the end of Luke Cage now, and I've actually quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think he's really good. I think Bushmaster, a good bad guy, and I'm kind of like.
I haven't started it yet.
I haven't continued since we last spoke. I decided to watch Clone Wars instead.
Yeah. It's just good. There's just a good dynamic in it, and there's a good three-way sort of kind of like power struggle in it, which is, you know, the whole thing is a bit more sort of gritty. And the fight scene, I was saying to my friend about this, it's like, after watching Daredevil and the second series of Daredevil, and even The Punisher and things like that, Luke Cage's fight scenes just seemed a bit clunky and, you know,
I think any character who relies just on pure strength is always going to be far less interesting than a character who's got actual training.
Yeah. Mm. But in this one, they sort of, you can feel like the fight seems just seemed a bit more choreographed and they seem a bit more like brutal and realistic, and it's good, you know. And I think Bushmaster, as you know, as the guy in it, you know, he does like kung fu and stuff like that. No, it's capoeira, actually. I think he does capoeira, but you know, it's really good. You know, the fight scenes are pretty good in this one, yeah.
And the soundtrack as well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
I love all the reggae music. It's so good.
I think the soundtrack in the first series is really good as well. I love that song "Hail to the Chief," which is really good. Hail to the Chief.
I love a show with a good soundtrack. Like, one of my favorite shows for finding like new music is Lucifer. Oh, I could swear to God, I download like two, three songs from every episode of Lucifer every time it's on. So that's why I have like a playlist just called like The Devil's Music, just because it's everything from that show. So that's why I'm so glad that they've been picked up now, because that cliffhanger, just
Ladies and gents.
I do apologize for chiming in. Ready Player One strikes again. Mobile Suit Gundam is going to get its own live action film. Fantastic.
Really? Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Considering the CGI behind Pacific Rim, I say we're certainly at a point where we could do a good looking Gundam.
Yeah. Well, look at Ready Player One. That Gundam suit was just fantastic. And a slow clap for Nicolas Cage.
Who is
going to be Spider-Man Noir.
Is that serious? I saw that and I was just like, serious. This is bullshit.
He's playing Superman in the Teen Titans Go film as well. But
But the thing is, he's one of these actors, and it's kind of like Anthony Hopkins as well, who doesn't... He has some of the most amazing films you've ever seen. You know, he's in such good films. And then he is in some of the most dog shit films you've ever seen. It's just like, does your agent not kind of go, nah? Or does he just go, I want part of your business, buddy. You're going to take this film.
Have you not seen the College Humor skit they did about Nicolas Cage's agent?
Yes, it is. It's just like...
I fully believe it's that.
Yeah, it's just like he's in some really shit films, but he is in some amazing ones, and he's not a bad actor. He's a bit crazy. You know, I quite liked his sort of quirkiness in Kick-Ass. I thought that was quite amusing.
I can never hear the word child the same way again.
Child!
Anytime anyone says child, I just like, I feel like I need a bath. Yeah. Shudder.
If you want one for bad words, Andrew Lincoln in The Walking Dead, one of my favourite shows of all time, I don't care what anyone says, I defend it for all my life. Coral. Instead of Carl, I know he says Coral. It's that simple, it's that straightforward.
Coral.
When I was at the Walking Dead convention earlier this year, someone actually cosplayed a piece of coral. Just a giant piece of coral.
Brilliant. And he's not going to be in it soon, much longer.
Yeah, well, Walking Dead apparently is teasing the end of Rick Grimes, as obviously played by Andrew Lincoln, but also the end of Maggie Green, who is played by Lauren Cohan, a actress who I really hated when she was in Supernatural, but anything after Supernatural, she's been awesome.
She was great in Chuck.
She was good in Chuck, yeah.
I just don't think it can carry on. It needs to stop now. It really needs to stop now. It's just...
How many TV shows have done this when they've got rid of a good chunk of their main cast and have tried to keep going? Scrubs done it, and Scrubs I used to really enjoy.
Oh man!
And then they took out.
Don't talk about Scrubs. I'm still not recovered from season 10.
Oh, like, when they're in the school, when they're doing the school.
Bad.
Season 9.
Yeah. Oh, well, sorry, whatever was the season that all of the cast essentially left, when I gave up.
The unspeakable season.
And then you had Heroes Reborn, which basically had only had HRG back of the main cast members. You had some others in guest stars. You had some in guest stars, but he was the only one that was a main cast member throughout the whole series.
Heroes
in it for a few episodes, and
Reborn far more than I enjoyed. Like, I gave up with Heroes about season 3, so the fact that you said earlier that you watched season 4, shame on you. But I actually thought Reborn was decent.
The thing is, season 4, you had Robert Nepper and you also had Ray Park. So come on, that two
given up
fantastic actors, and it was
given
it
up
was worth just watching them. And
the whole thing with Siler, what the fuck?
Reborn was pretty tragic. And then even like one of my favourite British shows, Being Human. By the time you got to the end of series 4, all the original cast members were dead. And this is supposed to be about the undead, basically, and they're all somehow dead and gone. How the hell that works out. But, yeah, and I think there's a certain point you got to just say, right, if the actors don't want to do the show, the actors are why people are watching the show, why do you want to keep the show going? Hopefully The Walking Dead might... I want it to make it to season 10. I want it to be around 10 seasons. I want them to have something big and impactful to, obviously, if they are going to kill off Rick, if they are going to kill off Maggie, I want it to be... If you've read the Walking Dead comic books, there is a storyline about a group called the Whisperers, and if they do the Whisperers storyline, this will be probably the best bit of TV you will see in 2018.
I've heard this. Well, I've read the storyline behind it and stuff like that, so it'll be interesting. But isn't that in the future, the Whisperers stuff?
Well, this is basically where they're at now. They've spoilers for anyone who's not watched the show or read the books. Basically, they've defeated Negan. They have instead of killing him, they have kept him prisoner, and there's going to be this time jump of about a year or so. So, yeah, the Whisperers are basically a group of survivors who have decided to live amongst the walkers, amongst the zombies, and what they basically do is they take these skins of the zombies and they wear them over themselves to be able to blend in and survive.
Sanitary.
Yep. And they actually make attacks on Rick's group. They obviously they're quite feral in a way. They're very
really? the people are zombie skins.
They're quite animalistic.
They are quite
a unit. They're almost like an army unit, but at the same time, they are fucking crazy. And they don't even refer to each other by names. The only two people that are given names is one of them calls herself Alpha, as she is obviously the alpha of the group, and then her second in command called Beta. That is the only names that are given. The rest of them don't get names. They are just treated as all equal. And at the same time, they just fuck everything up. But it's probably been the best part of the Walking Dead comics so far. If they can make that good in the show, you could probably get a good couple of seasons out of that, and then I'd be happy if that was The Walking Dead done.
I don't know, it needs to go now. I'm done.
It's not going now.
I'm done.
I think it needs to go now just because I'm really sick of hearing about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It bores me now. I literally got to the point where after the last season, I was like, right, I'm done. I'm not watching it anymore. And then I went, all right. So I kind of sort of put it on in the background, and then it got to the point where I just didn't care about it every week. So I let it sort of like build up in my my TV, and then I watched like 3 or 4 episodes at once, and then I was just like, all right, yeah.
Matt, do you rage watch it? Do you go, why the fuck are you doing that? Are you one of them people?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. So I'm just bored with it now. It just gets too samey. It was too formulaic, and
I think the problem is that it's ever since season 2, when they had the whole big problem with Frank Darabont, when he got chucked out of the show, they were like, okay, so we've just scrapped a whole season of ideas. We're now going to go on something completely different because they're under contractual agreement, because of Frank Darabont's contribution, they couldn't go 100% with what he'd put together. So like, okay, we're going to do it in this whole other direction. We're going to, and I think that was the issue. They lost a lot of focus, and then when they did bring it back up, it was good. And then we've had probably one of the most decisive cliffhangers of all time, when you had Negan basically using his baseball bat, Lucille, to take out a victim. And because everyone knew what was going to happen, everyone knew it was going to be a fan favorite that was going to get killed. And I think that was the point where people went, right, I'm either going to stick with the show now because I know I don't know what's coming up next, because I've just seen like my favorite character go, or I've seen what's probably the most shocking thing of this show. And you've probably got some people like, right, I've seen the moment that everyone spoke about. This is why I watched the show. And now I just think, fuck it, I'll give up on it. And the viewing figures have halved. I will admit there has been a big drop in the show since 2016. But for me, I watched it from day one. I'm one of these people that, even though sometimes I might not always think it's the greatest, I've got so far in the show, if I don't now see it through to the end, I will only hate myself.
Just Wikipedia it.
Yeah. No. There you go. All right, ladies and gents, I think we're going to have to leave it there, because we've been on for nearly an hour and a half now. Whoops. So, yeah, very good. But yes, thank you, everybody who joined us. Again, we've got a raffle. I'm going to post it up, and I'll probably boost it as well. So buy some raffle tickets, only a fiver. It's worth about £400, signed by pretty much every cast member of the Arrow.
I've just bought two.
Yeah. And,
except for Katie Cassidy, because she did not want to do it.
Yeah. So we've got
but no one likes Kate Cassidy anyway. They cut her off the show at one point, so there you go.
So yes, please buy it. All the proceeds will go to Cancer Research, UK. So it's all a good cause. So yes, I'll boost that and I'll fire it around again a bit more and stuff. But other than that, thank you very much, everybody. Have a great weekend. I've been Matt Geary. John Joe has been John Joe.
I certainly have indeed.
Laura has been Laura.
Tragically.
And I think Josh has been Josh.
I'll get back to you on that.
Good night, all. Thanks a lot.
Good night. Good night.